Start with your full name and your...
Well, my full name is Sarah Ada.
Okay.
Sarah with an H.
Right. And your Kirkwood now, what was your maiden name?
Thompson. With a P.
With a P.
Yeah.
All right. Are you sure and get it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was your father?
My father was Alexander Thompson.
Okay.
And my mother was Effie McEachern. Unless you want the full name, it was Euphemia.
Okay. McEachern, eh?
Yeah.
The McEacherns, I think of as over towards Acton. Where did they homestead or settle?
They were on the fifth line.
Were they?
Yes. That's the old McLean homestead.
Oh,
one of the old McLean homesteads, and that's where they lived on the fifth line. And then they moved over to Crewson's Corner, below Crewson's Corner.
Oh, okay.
So
I seem to remember was there a thrashing machine? With
yeah,
the
there were a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. And your folks, the Thompsons, where did they settle? Or where were they living when
they
you were...
Well, my great-grandfather was a blacksmith, and he was in Melnafad.
Oh.
And then he bought a farm where Lloyd Burt was.
Mm-hmm.
Lot 2, Concession 7.
Okay.
And that's where my great-grandfather was, and that's where he raised his family.
I see. Is that around where Dan Campbell was?
Or? No, he's on the sixth line.
Oh, on the sixth line.
On the sixth line.
Yeah.
Where the red brick house is on the hill.
Okay.
So.
Was that where you grew up yourself?
No. That's where my great-grandfather settled,
right.
And that's where my grandfather grew up.
Okay. What was the dates or the years roughly when your great-grandfather came there, more or less?
Well, no, just a minute. I got that. Get the right direction. I wrote down a whole bunch of things because I knew I'd... Maryland, 1813.
Okay.
My great-grandfather, and he died in 1896. He was 83 years old. Okay. He's buried up in Malafad.
Up on the corner cemetery
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. So that was an Irish connection then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was 7 years old when he came out here in 1820.
Oh.
And they came from Roscommon, Ireland.
Roscommon,
yeah.
That's just when the Rozzles and other people were settling here at this corner.
Yes.
Roughly the same time.
But then, he was only seven when he came out here.
Sure.
So he learned the blacksmith's trade, and then I got it here somewhere when he bought the farm.
He had a blacksmith shop here in the village somewhere?
He learned blacksmithing from, David Farley. You ever heard that name before?
I don't think I have, no.
Well, it didn't say where he was from.
This is quite far back now.
And it said he started a business for himself at Belnafad. And when they came over here to Canada, they were shipwrecked off the coast of Newfoundland.
Wow.
And
we're lucky to survive that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was a blacksmith for... till 1838. And then he bought the farm.
And that was the farm on the...
On the sixth line, yeah.
Okay.
And in 1833, do you want this? He married Catherine Patterson.
Okay.
And her father was on Dick Shortle's farm.
Yeah.
Lot 2.
Yeah.
Concession 8.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
West.
Yeah. And that Archibald Patterson, some places they said he was the first settler near the township. I think they had that down in the books in Toronto.
Oh, yes. Well, the Rozzles were in this morning. I don't know. Did Joan tell you that some of the Rozzles connection came
but,
here?
But like somebody from around here a long time ago said that they had to do a school project. And they sent down to Toronto.
Oh, yes.
And this was the information they got back from Paul Patterson.
I see.
But anyway, His daughter married my grandfather, my great-grandfather. Get these grandfathers right. And she died 1901. Now she's buried up on the hill here, too.
Oh, I see.
And then, do you want their family's name?
No, we'll probably get those when we come to do the written book.
Okay.
I'm more interested trying to remember to guess what kind of life those people found when they first came here in the 1820s
well,
and 30s and 40s.
I don't think it would be that...
not that easy.
I don't think that... No, no. Well, especially, can you imagine letting your son go 7 years old, come to Canada with his brothers and sisters? And as far as I can make out, it was just the parents stayed in Ireland.
Wow. Well, if he had a much older brother who was responsible, I suppose he might manage.
Well, maybe, because I don't know how many brothers and sisters there were.
It's a pretty big responsibility.
But I know there were brothers, because the brothers, they settled 16, what do they call it, 16, Hollow, 16-something, the brothers settled. Okay. And they had a grist mill.
Oh.
They started a grist mill.
All right. So my dad wasn't the first one to have a grist mill around here.
No, no. but these brothers did, because they had some kind of a deal that they had to, they gave them money when they had to have a grist mill.
Oh, yes.
And started up, so.
Huh. Do you have any idea where the blacksmith shop was?
I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea. Like, I did have a letter a long time ago from a Benny, and I didn't know where to put my hands on it. And he said that some relative of his had a blacksmith shop in Ballinafad.
I see.
Now, and I think he thought it was where Ferguson's had it.
Yeah.
But, like, what I could find wrote about my great-grandfather, it didn't say anything. It just said that he had a business here for so many years. And then he bought this farm.
There is a little booklet called The History of the Hamlet of Ballinafad.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's only 3 or 4 or 5 pages, but it very briefly mentions some of the businesses, the early hotels.
Well, there were 3 hotels.
Shops, apparently, eh?
Well, you see, one of my grandfather's brothers had a hotel where your dad built the chopping mill.
Oh, yes. I heard there was a hotel there.
Yeah.
Once, yeah.
Run competition, and my grandfather was a temperance man. Whether that's why he started up, or whether it was because these uncles had the grist mill, because they had a distillery too.
Maybe, eh?
And I understood, somebody told me it was down around the Union, but then when I was reading up, they talked about 16th Hollow, and I couldn't figure that one out. So it's got to be down in there somewhere, because
right.
I know people told me that there were some of the Thompsons around Union.
I see.
So.
You mentioned the temperance, and that's something that we've been asking about and haven't had a lot of information. I guess the early days of the 20th century, the temperance movement, and these people, the Good Templars or something, who owned a hall there.
Yeah.
Were you aware, or have you read up on some of the history of that?
No, but that's what my grandfather, he was one of the temperance men.
He was, eh?
And the only other name I can think of is Clayton Beswick. Now, maybe it was Clayton's father that would be in with my grandfather.
I saw the Beswicks in that Methodist Church record book of Sunday school and so on.
Helen Brown might have been able to... I've told you something, but I don't know. That could be be before her time too. But at one time, I did know a lot of them that were.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think they were just all from right Ballinafad.
They were pretty strong and determined to get the legislation that they got. Mm-hmm. They must have.
Well, and I guess maybe why my grandfather, he had a bunch of sons, and then his brother, and I know I heard them. Heard some of the family say that the uncle always bragged that he was going to make a drunkard out of one of Joe Henry's sons. And they said there was only one fool enough to follow him, so I don't know.
Oh, dear. Well, they succeeded for quite a while in
yes, they did.
Keeping it underground anyway.
Well, but they, well, where else had they got it? Did they have a meeting place here? They had the hall and...
Well, I was thinking, I was thinking of the people who were distributing the liquor, because I guess everybody managed to distribute something.
When there were three hotels here at one time,
yes,
there would be liquor. But then I think like some of the, from what I could understand, like some of these relatives that, like they're not seem to, these other relatives aren't seem to connect with, I only found the bit that would connect them with my grandfather.
I see.
Like, or my great-grandfather, they had a distillery. And whether that was around the Union or out that way somewhere.
Was it because so many people were drinking so much and wasting the money and...
Maybe.
Hardships at home, I guess that must have been the motivation
for... because they all had big families.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm. Eventually, it kind of faded away, I guess, and
it was still, like when I was a kid, there were still the Temperance Hall and the
there were still. I can remember there were dry regions and wet regions.
Mm-hmm. But
I think it's all wet now.
Well, I think so,
but it doesn't seem to be the problem that it was.
No.
Right? Although it still can be a problem for some people, I guess.
Yeah, but there's some place that I came across, they call it Thompson Hollow.
Thompson Hollow.
Thompson Hollow, and I think it was down below Stewarttown.
Oh, yes, well.
Stewarttown
itself is in quite a hollow there.
Yeah, yes, it is. And this was about one of the Thompsons. Like there, I looked in the Atlas, Wellington County Atlas was where I found some of the information.
Okay.
And there was one lot of Thompsons that came out the same year and everything. And they seemed to be well off and make a lot. They worked hard. They didn't have anything, but they worked hard and got a lot. But there was one family that were related. And they're the family that bought up, you know where Grant Wright is?
Yeah.
And they went by the name, was it Leslie?
Yes.
It was Thompson bought it, but the families married into the Leslie somehow. And anyway, well, I remember when I was at church one day, and this was maybe after R.B. died, I don't know. This lady came up to me and she said, "You're a relative of mine." And she was Edna Leslie, and she lived on Grant Wright's farm.
Oh, I see.
But she wasn't living there then, but that's where she had lived.
Right.
So there's a connection somewhere, but I don't know what it is.
Well, we could make a copy of some of the notes if you
want. Well, whatever.
For Joan.
Whatever you want.
Just tell us a little bit about your own marriage and your own family. You married into the Kirkwood connection.
Yeah.
What was your husband's name and your children?
Raymond Benny. You have all that.
Yeah, but this is going on. Mm-hmm.
This would just be briefly for this.
Well, it was
record.
Raymond Benny.
Yeah.
Like his dad always said, it had to be RB no matter what the name was. So it was Raymond, and then Benny was his mother's maiden
his
name.
His mother's maiden name.
Yeah,
that's right. And and Ken was his brother.
Yes. He was Robert Kenneth.
Right, yes. So you were living, was that the Peacock Side Road where you were farming there?
Yeah. Peacock, yeah. And it was between the 8th and 9th line.
Right.
150 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you, and where are you living now? Somewhere near
I'm living on part of the farm because when I, like the 34 was a separate deed, so I sold the 34, and then the 16 acres was a separate deed. So when this guy wanted to buy the 100, I didn't want to take the 16 acres and be right beside the house and barn.
Yeah.
So I took 16 acres off the 8th line corner, but at the lower end of the farm.
All right.
So next to Grant Wright.
Yeah.
So I got 16 acres there, and I got a bit of bush. So,
okay.
And I built a house in the, what do they call it, a pole barn.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A driving house.
I see.
And the driving house and the house are both full.
So you're still farming.
Not really, because I haven't got animals anymore, but Bob works the farm.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, a lot of people that we've interviewed tell us about farm children who now are in the cities working and so on. It's interesting to hear someone who's still on the farm.
Well, Bob is still on 100 acres of the crown deed that my great-great-grandfather got. Because my great-grandfather got the one half the deed, and his brother got the other half the deed. So, and it was, so then his brother's family, they stayed, like, the brother had two girls, and the one married a Reed, and they kept the farm, and the other girl married a McClure.
Oh.
Now, and I don't know what her first name was, but Reed's had a big family, and then there was, some of them went out west, one was a doctor and one was a nurse, and the one that stayed on, that got the farm, sold the farm to Uncle Norm McLean when his barn was burnt with lightning.
Oh, yeah.
So then it's still in the same family line.
Wow.
So Bob got the farm when Aunt Mary died.
Wow.
Long rigmarole.
Well, it's more than a century farm. It's getting close to two centuries.
It is, because they got it in... They came out in 1834, and they got the crown deed in 1837.
Wow.
So.
Well, you've seen a lot of farm families leave, and you've seen new neighbors come in.
Yep.
And
I've seen a lot of the old ones still hanging on.
Yes. What was community life like when you were married and bringing up children and farming and so on?
Just the same as it had always been.
I see.
He just visited with the neighbors, and if there's something special going on, you went to it.
Right.
And you went to church. So.
Where did you go? To Aaron Church?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, my family, all the way back, both sides, were always great on building churches.
I see.
Like there was no church when they came, so there was a Gaelic minister came, and they met in a barn. And then they built the white church. They were in on building the white church.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they got that built, then they built a church in Erin, where the big, where the big Presbyterian church is in Erin. There was a little frame building there to begin with.
Okay.
And then they tore it down, what was it, 1881 or something, and I'm not sure on the date.
Yeah.
They tore down the frame building and put up the one that's there now, the big brick.
So the church has been pretty important to your family down over generations, eh?
Yes, because on both sides of the house, because my grandfather, who was the Templar, he was an elder in Osbridge Presbyterian Church.
I see.
Helped get that built. So, and then the others helped build this church here, and then they acted. Well, so it's been all down the line.
Yes, well, this church is still somewhat a center of this community. It's fairly active here.
Yes, yeah.
And even today they're renting us the space, so we appreciate that. We should talk a bit about the Women's Institute. I guess you've already talked quite a bit to Joan about that.
Yeah, I didn't really know. I brought the books, but I didn't really know. I thought afterwards, I haven't got the date in my mind when it was organized here the second time, like it was here before,
I see.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Like before the First World War, it was here. And then they disbanded for a while, and then they started up again. And I don't know whether it was 1952. I'd have to really look it up.
I have it at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Were you part of getting it started?
No, I wasn't.
No.
I was busy raising kids then. But after it got going, then I joined it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was a member from about 1954 till it disbanded again.
Okay.
So that's how I still got books to look after.
Yeah. What was good about the Women's Institute? What attracted you to it?
Well, it was a social... It was a social thing, and they backed the 4-H. Uh-huh. And I thought that was a very important thing. And it, besides, it was a learning thing because the people would come up from different departments and they would speak to you about different things and tell you what was going on, like home economics and along that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, when the, of course, when my girls got old enough for 4-H, they were in the agricultural 4-H and they were in the 4-H for the institute or the homemaking club. So,
I see.
And they didn't like one little bit that I was a leader.
They wanted to get away from Mom.
Well, yeah. They said I expected more of them than I did anybody else. And I said, well, that's what it's supposed to be. So I did that for, about 15 years.
I see. What kind of project would you be... Projects were you doing with?
Well, there was a garden club, there was a sewing club, there was a knitting club, there was different crafts like needlepoint and there was quilting,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of cooking clubs.
Okay.
And the garden club, there was a lot of different things kept up, and there'd be about 3 clubs a year.
I see.
So it was there'd be. In the fall and the winter, there'd be a club like before Christmas and after Christmas, and I figured sometimes I got as much out of it, maybe more than the girls did.
Well, that makes for a good school, a good project.
Well, I didn't think I wasted my time. Although now, when I look back, I wonder, well, how did I work and come home from work and gather up all this stuff and come down to the hall? And you know, teach it, and then because you were lugging stuff all the time. But
yeah.
I did it, and I enjoyed it. So
yes.
I didn't figure I lost anything. I figured I gained as much as the girls did.
Yeah.
Plus, you met each girl was different. You had to. Like I know
find their strong points and their
yes.
interests and build on them.
And they all had. Some of them had physical handicaps, and I found they were the ones that were most into it, mm-hmm. and wanting to do a good job. And I didn't begrudge spending time with them, you know, to get their books ready to hand in so their books would pass.
Yes. What sort of physical handicaps would they have?
Well, the one girl had something, I don't know about her brain, something, she had a stent in her brain or something.
I see.
And she was a smart girl, but, you know, and she was younger than the rest when she started, too.
Okay.
Some of them wanted to start when they were real young, and others, oh, do I have to? But no, I didn't begrudge it one little bit. Like I got my granddaughter into it now. I talked her into it because she was into bacon and everything. And I said, why don't you join 4-H? And she didn't want to join 4-H, but then she is joined. She has joined it, and I think she's liking it.
Okay. We haven't mentioned your children or your grandchildren. Do you want to give us those names?
She has them down.
It's, all right,
yeah,
that'll be fine.
She has them.
You see quite a bit of all of them?
Well, no. I got a grandson. He's thinks he wants to be a jockey. And he's working with horses, so I don't see. I haven't seen him for a long time.
Right.
But I did. Like Heather's husband left her when, the daughter was only 3 years old. So it was Mom filled in, and I took them to work with me. Took them to a babysitter and picked them up when I was through work. And, That's what we did.
You were teaching when you were...
No, I wasn't teaching then. I worked in Sears order office.
Oh, did you?
So I took the kids
Where was that?
In Erin.
In Erin, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I took the kids to the babysitter and picked them up at night. And I practically raised the little girl because she was, like her dad, she was only a baby when...
And he left him.
It's
too bad.
So, anyhow.
What about the WI itself, the Institute? You said because of their support for 4-H, you were supporting them. What else were they doing in the community that
Anything that, they were instrumental in getting some of the things done over at the cemetery, Providence Cemetery, and up here.
Yeah.
And, they were doing different things, like right off the top of my head, I can't tell you.
The social things, if somebody needed some help.
Yeah, there were socials because we had Euchers going and we'd have penny sales or something like that to raise money, but it was to get people together.
Yeah.
We made quilts and sold quilts. And
sure.
That,
but funds were used for the community, I guess, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Help families maybe to build something in the community.
Yes. It usually went to something in the community.
Yeah. Some women were part of church. My mother was into Women's Missionary Society and Women's Association, and then there was the WI. It seemed like there were a lot of things for women
and there were,
to go to.
Some women belonged to both. Like, but I was here in church, so I wasn't involved in this church.
Yeah.
But
well, the Women's Institute had the advantage that it didn't matter what denomination you were,
that's,
it could bring everybody together, which was a very good contribution.
And it's too bad they seem to be slipping all over the place now. Like, I think it's just a different group of women. The women now, I think, are out working more. I know it kills it for people working in the church.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't got time because they're working.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, I don't know. I worked and was involved.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see the point, but I can see, like, they have to drive maybe further to get their jobs.
Yes, well, community life tends to suffer a bit, I guess.
And I think the kids pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who pays the price.
Yes, well, they can always stay home and watch TV. Maybe that's one of the...
Well, I don't know, there's so much TV.
One of the enemies of community life, maybe.
So much TV isn't worth watching either.
Yeah.
Although there's some good programs on if you want to find them.
Right. So, we should wind up soon. Do you want to mention any of the really good things that you remember that happened? You've mentioned the 4-H. That was all a very good experience for you.
Yes. And one thing the Institute did was they promoted bus trips, and they'd take people to see things that they never got a chance to see. You know, people who weren't members would go on these trips, and they were usually a learning trip. It wasn't just an enjoyment thing. It was... I didn't find it a waste of time.
Right. What about your experience of working at the order office? Not a lot of farm wives were working in town then, or were they?
Well, it was getting to the point where some of them were.
I see.
But, one of my jobs was, because I knew the country, because I was... grew up around here. I knew the country.
Yeah.
And when it came to deliveries, a lot of people didn't know where they lived. They didn't know a lot from a concessionaire. And I had a lot of fun trying to figure out some of those because I had to know an old name for some places, you know. And one that I remember in particular, I had a terrible time. And the poor woman, I felt sorry for her because I don't think she really knew where she was. I phoned about this, get something delivered. And she said, well, she was at Bell's Mountain. And I thought, where the heck is Bell's Mountain? So then I had a feeling myself that it had to be a certain place. And I thought it was on the 10th line. So I sort of tried to zero in and I said, is there a turkey farm near you? And all this. No, she didn't know none of this. So finally, when I got, kept asking questions about what was around there, I can't tell you now what questions I asked her, but and I figured, well, she was across the road from this turkey farm I was talking about. And then I figured out, kept asking a question, and I figured out she was talking about Bell Fountain.
Oh.
It was Bell Fountain.
I see.
And, but... Uh-huh. I got, like, they come up from the city and they didn't know what lot of concession or whether the north was south. And
that's right.
But, oh, there was a lot, it was a lot of fun, though, too.
So as well as working in town, you would have lots to do around the house. You'd be gardening and so on. Did you?
Well, my 4-H girls were supposed to be gardening.
Yeah. You wouldn't be expected to do much in the fields, would you, or in the barn?
Well, no, not after I really got working, but before that, I was the one that did the work in the fields because, well, Bob was in school and Bob had a job, and okay. So I was the one that
you were the farmer.
I was the farmer. Wow. And the woodcutter and whatever else. I'd do get so much done, and then when he'd come home from school, he'd help me. That, yeah, but it did get to be too much to.
Yeah, I think so.
That, oh, well, I worked at a nursing home in between time, and did I was you? A cook, and I was everything else. So.
Well.
You just
do it because you have to do it.
Yes, you do. And then you meet a lot of nice people along the way. You meet a lot of.
Sure.
You know, but that comes in it no matter what you do.
Yes. Well, you've contributed a lot to the community, and it seems like you're still contributing with this project.
If I ever get settled down to do that.
Yes.
Well, I've been. People give me things, and I try to make use of them.
Yes.
I had one lady give me a bunch of wool. And she had a lot of little squares done up, you know, but not put together. So I put them together and made baby blankets, and that's what I do when I'm sitting.
Well, my wife Marion is still using some of the wool that you sent to hers.
Oh, yes.
Still weaving away.
Oh, well, that's good.
Doing this and that, yeah.
Glad somebody's making use of it.
Right.
I wouldn't throw it out. Some people would throw it out, but
yeah.
I don't throw it out. I try to make use of it. Because if I look around and I see people, kids without mitts.
Yes.
So, and I got a lot of wool, and I think, well, maybe I can get busy and do mitts.
Any last story that you want to leave with us? Or any?
Oh, I don't know what kind of a story
so
you want
stories.
To.
Well, who were your women friends? Were they relatives, or did you have close friends you made with other farm women nearby? Who was your best support?
Well, really neighbors.
Neighbors, yeah.
And the Institute.
Yeah.
And Institute women were a big help to me.
Yeah.
That, but when I was a little kid, the neighbors all around, like I guess I was the only kid around. When I would be about 4 or 5,
okay,
the women would all take an afternoon, and I was supposed to come and visit them, spend the afternoon with them. And I could walk myself then. Now, you wouldn't let a kid do that. One experience I had, an old dog, and this dog, if I went somewhere, it had to go too. And if I screamed, nobody could touch me. Anyway, I was going to see the neighbor across the road. Her sister came up from the city to visit. So she was going to have me over, and they were baking. I can't tell you now what they were baking. But when I was going over, the old sow had got out with a bunch of little pigs. And it was in the lane. And this boy from the city, was a city boy with a big stick, he thought he was going to get ahead of this. Well, I saw this sow and pigs, and I knew enough to be afraid, and I hung on to the gate post, screaming my head off, and the dog came, my dog came running out, and that was the end of the pigs. And he said to me, "Some farmer you are." And I never forgot that.
Oh, dear. Well, you could do what he couldn't do. Oh, dear. Well, that's a great story.
But, well, I still laugh when I think about it. I often wonder where he is today. Anyhow, much to it, unless you want to know about the Thompson history and that.
Well, we'll make some copies of notes that you have there for Joan, and if there's not too many pages.
Well,
and she'll likely come to visit you when she gets deeper into her history.
Well,
I didn't write that down.
Now there's some notes I made of some of the other Thompson, yeah. Like that lived. These are ones that lived were at the homestead, mm-hmm. John Comfort, and he married Rosal.
Comfort Rosal.
Yeah, that's where the Comfort came from, I guess. And then there was George married Sadie Sinclair. Do you remember George, or was he gone before you?
I don't think
George Thompson? He was a Thompson.
Vaguely, yeah, I remember living with Comfort Rosal in Georgetown for one year.
And then Kate McEachern, she was a sister. And then Allie married Sandy McLean.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Sandy? Yeah. He was deaf.
Right. Let me put that in the photocopier.
Okay.
Make a copy of each slide.
You can read my writing when it's done. These are when they... this is the paper I was looking for. I found out when they died, when they... I do have a method when I find out how much it's done.
What did we do before we got three ring binders? Eh?
Oh, I don't know.
Everything goes in a three ring binder.
Well, I make use of them. The kids throw them out, but I make use of them.
I buy them from the thrift shop.
Eh?
I buy them from the thrift shop.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he'd want that?
I don't know. What was it? Oh, this is the red and blue.
Now, this is the connection to the reeds. I don't know whether you wanted that. You said about people who lived around here.
Mm-hmm. We'll put these in together on one page.
Okay. You're lucky you got a photocopier.
We are lucky, yeah. They do allow us to.
We're really very fortunate to have the use of this building.
Yeah, I know.
For many reasons, but not least of them is that most of the people who come are already familiar with the building.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives them that extra dimension of security.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you've got a strange old buddy like me, they've never met before.
Yeah. Well, I know there's likely a lot that...
Well, we'll make a generous contribution when we finish. Since that most of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Book on the Kirkwood that you gave Ken. Is it still available? Like, I never did read it, and Bob never did, only seen it when we were gathering the stuff.